Hi, everybody. So it's funny to be here in this dark space.
Yeah.
But anyway, hello there. Okay, so I got to find this. Okay, does that work? Okay, so I have no relationships to disclose. So the other challenge is to talk to you for about 15 minutes about a year and a half long process. So I have a bazillion slides, and I even had double bazillion slides to share with you. And so I'm going to go through a lot of them really fast, and then you can also take a look at...
You have 20 minutes.
I have 20 minutes, okay. So 20 minutes. Great, thank you. So the first part is talking to you very briefly about the MAP process, and so we're basically at the... or the planning phase, so there's all kinds of prerequisites, as you know, and we use the MAP process, and within the MAP process, we implemented the community themes strengths assessment for the community health assessment part of the prerequisite. And then I'm going to share with you what we did in the steps that we took for that, and then how we synthesized information and identified community priorities, and then some of the lessons learned from that. It was a very difficult, tiring, exciting, wonderful process, and I like the way that Patricia talked about it. It's like visiting. So we invited and talked with just hundreds of people from throughout the county. Our county is 1.5 million population, and there was no way to talk to that number of folks, but we tried to talk to as many as we possibly could. Okay, so here's, some of you already know this map, roadmap, and so we started over there at the way at the bottom left. What do we do? How do we even begin this whole process? We actually did the four MAP assessments, but I'm going to focus on the community themes and strengths part. So in terms of implementing the community themes and strengths, we did a lot of, this preparation took at least, oh gosh, 4 or 5 months to pull together. And basically it was because we have been attempting a health equity lens in all of our work. And so how to do this with that health equity lens, knowing that there's huge disparities, huge health inequities within our population. Alameda County is one of the most diverse counties in the whole country. And so we really wanted to pay attention to what that means and what that looks like. So we did a number of things. I'm going to highlight some of this. We reviewed existing epidemiological data. We had to figure out which groups to talk to, definitely African Americans, because they bear the largest burden of health inequities in the county. We just worked with a lot of residents. We built on the foundation of having done a lot of work in with residents already. We had to develop outreach plan. I mean, we just did a whole lot of stuff. And then, also including that, is figuring out how to do the data collection methods, and then all of the logistics and so forth. And you'll get a sense of what I mean as I keep going in this talk. The other thing that we wanted to make sure is that our community themes and strengths assessment process would be committed to continuing that health equity lens, that we also looked at a life course model, paying attention to people of all ages, having partnerships with community residents and groups, and that we had geographic inclusion. And then, so parts of the county are rural. Some of the parts of the county, like Oakland, is extremely urban. And then there's also very wealthy areas in our county, as well as very poor areas. On top of having major racial ethnic diversity. So just very briefly, we looked at Dr. Garina Jupa, who is not here, but she's one of the co-developers of this presentation. She looked at, over 200 documents, I think. As you can see here, from health data, community initiative reports, all kinds of reports, EPI reports, documents, and so forth, within a 5-year period. So here's a list of some of the reports that you looked at. Lots of health profiles, information books, etc. And then also our epidemiology unit created a report that includes in 2014 that includes all of these items, and you can take a look at them looking at our website. So this is a very traditional epidemiology report, but also looking at it from a social determinants of health and determinants of health equity. So that was part of the review. And in that review, some of the things that we concluded was that we need to have a greater emphasis placed on using data to develop, implement, and measure interventions from an evidence-based methodology. We needed to have more in-depth critical analyses conducted beyond the tip of the iceberg. So there's a lot of secondary data, a lot of these reports that actually describe the health inequities and the health disparities, but it was still, what do we do with all that? I mean, we already know all of these things. We already know that African Americans bear the greatest burden of disease, but what's underneath that? What's the story? What are the stories that really can tell us what we need to do and shed light into our interventions? And so the other one, that red area, concerted effort to hear from hidden populations in the community voices. So really paying attention to those who normally do not come to the table. So when we conducted the focus group, the community discussions, we really wanted to make sure that there was open dialogue, and then figure out how to collect data, multiple methods, voice recordings, computer entry, photos, and scribing. And just to share with you, these are slides. I mean, these are some, we did 25 within a 1 year period, community discussions. These are just six of the posters that we distributed to bring people to talk to us. So you could see there was an LGBTQI group, there was a Latino, actually did two Latino groups, we did two youth groups, and each of these, and also communities with disabilities and mothers who breastfed. And we could have kept going. People kept asking us to come talk to us, come visit with us. We need to share with you our stories. And then we're like, we have to end this sometime. And so that was a mandate from my boss, our director, who said, okay, you've gotten so much data, now you need to figure out what to do and analyze it, so just stop doing the assessments already. But there were so many more groups that really wanted to come with us, and when they heard about what we were doing, they wanted to share their stories as well. And the other thing is that each of these groups contributed to, on varying levels. Like the youth, they did their own, they created their own community discussions, they created their own questions. We did a whole training with youth that where they actually did their whole, they did everything from figuring out the questions to data collection to, except for data analysis, they helped with that, but actually implementing was their main focus. Let's see, so on the top left, that's a map of our county. Like I said, we have about 1.5 million, so from the north to the south and then east to west, we did 25, and so that's the geographical spread. And then those are some of the hundreds of pictures I took doing this project. You see the youth, Latinos, and just, yeah, some of the groups that we talked with. Whoops, wrong way. So again, this is a list of who we spoke with. We also talked with Native Americans, and then because the county is divided amongst five community districts, we did a combination of race ethnic groups, and then by geography. So each district, and we worked with our board of supervisors and their staff to make sure that we heard from their groups, their residents. Okay. So really quickly, this is the set of slides that I was debating on whether to share with you. So each of the groups, we had questions and discussion guides. So this, we have two examples. So this one we did with African Americans in West Oakland. Why are we here today? What do we hope to do with you? Build relationships, gather input, prioritize, shared with them, like, what is health? Our perspective on health inequity, shared a little bit of the data, actually a lot of slides on data, like what's going on in your community. And then we asked them questions. What are your major issues? Why do they exist? How do they impact you as an African American community in West Oakland? So both the racial, ethnic, and then the place. And then this is where Dr. Guina Jufo did an amazing job of switching the dialogue from here are all the problems you have to let's talk about your assets and your strengths. And this is really important. And then what are we going to do about it? What are the root causes? And then another example is what we did at the district level. So this is more population, very mixed. So it was not just one. We didn't focus on one racial ethnic group or one age group. So again, what's your definition of health? What are your major issues? What are your priorities? What are your community strengths that we need to build on? And what are we going to do about it? Just to summarize, so again, I went through that really fast and I apologize. What we're trying to do with all of these community discussions is to ensure the community voice. As I said earlier, I really like the way Patricia talked about in terms of visiting, so how really paying attention to what people are saying. Again, it's a very diverse population across class, ages, history, sexual orientations, etc. And then we also know that there's lots of hidden populations within the larger one, so we really wanted to make sure there was inclusion and to make sure that we went in there and we talked to people from this culturally humble place and to be receptive to what they were going to say. Okay, then making sense of the data. I think it was about 2 years ago, I think it was Boston where we had APHA, and my task there was to find a qualitative software that we could use in order to pull this data together and analyze it. So I chose NVivo, and it was wonderful, and I understand they updated it, it's even better now. And so that's the data, that's the software that we used, and lots of effort, time, and energy into, if you can imagine, 25 community focus groups with all kinds of qualitative data, putting into one database, coding them, reviewing the codes, refining the codes, creating diagrams. So this diagram is one of the 25 that we created. So you can see we pulled together what the vision for the community, what their existing community issues, what were their top priorities, and what were their strengths. So, okay, so this is the process. What is your vision? What is each group's vision? What are the community issues and concerns that then become the community priorities that also the community strengths could build on for community action? And then these are some of the vision elements that came out of these groups. That there is a recognition and respect for diversity across all cultural, ethnic, age, and group affiliations. That the physical and built environments that are safe with clean air and water, access to healthy food, open spaces, recreation, affordable transportation, and housing. That there's a protection of the county's diverse residents from violence, crime, bullying, and all forms of physical, emotional, and psychological harm. That there's a comprehensive, culturally inclusive, and competent medical and mental health services. Mental health services were actually surfaced a lot during these discussions, and that youth that are healthy, educated, and successful. So we are now, there's now community health improvement teams that are looking at these priorities. And then in these community groups, they actually voted on their priorities. So here's some pictures of how they did that. So the three priorities that our community health improvement plan are about. The first one is accessible medical and mental health care, and the second is community economic development, and the third is community and public safety. And so there are three groups that are now that have met and are fleshing out what these issues are to develop the community health action plan. And many, we would love to have even more of the community residents who participated in our community themed insurance work part of the community health action, community health improvement team. We have some, and it's wonderful that they see their work from providing input, providing their opinions, to actually having a say in what we're going to do as a county to, you know, to make their lives different. So some of the lessons, we use multiple methods that capture the health and status of all, and I think we attempted that. We probably could have done even more, but I think we actually did a pretty good job of doing that. We developed and implemented assessment strategies to hear from often hidden populations, and as I said, we could have done even more of that. And sometimes the team that I worked with lamented on, you know, we wish we had more time, we wish we had more groups to talk to, you know, so forth. But we tried our best to have as many folks as we could to speak with. We also, the important lesson of involving community partners. So with the youth, we worked with youth partners, with the community, the disability community, we worked with the Disability Council. Native American groups, there's actually a Native American friendship house that we partnered with. And then in terms of the analysis, here's another area that, you know, it's like, we know that there are root causes of health inequities, and in terms of looking deeper into the tip of this iceberg, what does that mean to really be open to the, you know, the stories? And some of the stories that we heard were really, really painful, really, really tough. Historical trauma to, you know, like violence in among the youth, just enormous amounts of painful realities, and how they affect the health status of our population, how they contribute to those health inequities, and what do we do about those? Can't just gloss over them and pay attention now. And what are we gonna? How are we gonna incorporate and honor their voices into developing these interventions? So, just to wrap it up, this is our the slide is about the healthy Alameda County. So this is just lots of data, health status data, and then to be really hopefully completing the community health assessment report. So Dr. Breeden Trufo is going to be, she's almost done. She's a perfectionist when it comes to reports as an epidemiologist. And so hopefully we will be releasing it on our website soon, because it'll show off all the hard work. And I actually, in the acknowledgments, there were so many people involved in this work. So if you can imagine, 25 community groups of logistics involved in that, all the partners. Actually, I forgot to add in here that Robert Wood Johnson Foundation helped fund some of the work that we did. And we also had, I had hoped that we would be able to do another presentation just on African-American men's dialogue. They were just amazing and intense. Again, we learned so much. And we incorporated that information, what they shared with us, into our community health assessment report. So thank you so much. And if you've got any questions, my information is here somewhere, and I'm doing this backwards, sorry. Escape. Okay. There's my information. Thank you. And I can't see where it is.
That's all right.
Okay. Thank you.
So thanks to Lola, Mike, Patricia, and Mia for excellent presentation. We have about 15 minutes if you have any questions. So the presenters are here. You can ask to any of them, any of the four presentations. Any questions from the floor? Any? Yeah, at the back.
Yeah, second it.
And I'll try not to trip a third time on the way up here. Actually, yeah, we used Access. Oddly enough, we do have the ability. We have an Access backend and a SQL backend. We chose Access obviously because it's most people have it on their computers. We are probably going to create something that's a little bit more, I don't want to say more complex, but something web-based using sort of a different set of scripting languages. But that's what we use to build it primarily. And it's Lola, by the way, but no worries. Yes, completely free, yes. Use, modify, build upon, have fun with, yeah, absolutely. Yes, yeah, just contact us. I don't have my business cards with me, but I can give my information, you know, to you directly if you need. There you go. No problem.
Any other questions?
The question was related methodologically to the ability to establish direction of causality, whether it's health departments that know more about QI and all that go into the accreditation process, or if the accreditation process itself is associated with increased levels of knowledge and awareness. And so it's a selection bias question as to who gets accredited, and that's a very valid point. This is observational data from a cross-sectional design. There's no way to methodologically determine that. This type of data doesn't exist at any point prior to the PHWIN, so this is the first time ASTO and the de Beaumont Foundation plan on doing this survey multiple times going forward, and we've already got our hand in the ring to try and do longitudinal studies to determine that, but based on the data available now, there's no way to answer your question except to say that this is an association, not any... it's not a causation, it's an association.
Any other questions?